Good morning. We're going to begin in the Proverbs. These are the Proverbs. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These Proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. So, growing up, my grades would never show it, but I was not very smart. I wasn't the smartest kid in school. I got like A's and B's throughout all of high school, but I wasn't as smart as the other kids who got A's and B's. Like, here's what I mean. Like, in math, I could always get the right answer. Just never in the show your work kind of way. You know what I mean? In science, it was like the complete opposite of that for me. In science, I could always show my work. I love doing all the things, but I would never get to the right answer. But for me, in school, reading was my kryptonite. I was a mess when it came to reading. In fact, I graduated high school reading at a sixth grade level. I mean, I was terrible at reading. And like for me, the pinnacle point of why I hated reading was in ninth grade. In ninth grade, we had to read in our class out loud together, Romeo and Juliet. And because my name is Brian Montague, like Romeo Montague, I was forced to read all of Romeo's parts for the 2 weeks that we had to read this out loud in class. I had a stutter, I fumbled over words. It was the most miserable 2 weeks of my life. And I vowed from that day forward, I would never read another book again. And for the rest of high school, I didn't. Sorry, teachers, this is what happened. Okay, because when I was in high school, it was like right when like the internet was coming around, websites were coming up and all that. And there were sites that you could go to that would give you the summary of every book. And so guess what I did? I didn't read those summaries. I told you I wasn't going to read anything. What I would do is I would take those summaries, I would copy them and paste them into another website that would read the summary to me. And that's how I got through high school. I know it's horrible. I'm sorry. But that's the reality. I was just terrible at reading. And here's the deal. Like, I have since learned the value in reading, okay? We'll get there in a minute. But even like throughout college, like I never saw myself as dumb, but I certainly never saw myself as smart. At least not smart academically or smart intellectually. I just had always seen myself as average. You ever feel that way? Just average? You ever feel like you just wish you were better, like life was better? You ever feel like you just wish that there was some life hack, some magic bullet that if you just did this one thing, then I would be like those smart people, right? If I could just do one thing, then I could be like the rich people or like the popular people, the people who seem like they've got all the free time on their hands. You ever feel like that? You see, what I've come to realize that so many of us, we spend so much of our lives wishing that there were better days ahead, but we have no plan or path to get there. And what happens is that when we live in that space for too long, wishing that things were better, but having no plan to actually get there, we actually begin to believe this lie that our best days are behind us. You see, what I came to realize when I was about 20 years old is that I would never be the smartest person in the room. But there were real practical things that I could do to ensure that I had better days ahead with my job, that I had better days ahead in my leadership, that I had better days ahead in my communication with my family, that that there were practical things I could do to ensure that I had better days in my faith, in my walk with Jesus. You see, there are better ways to better days. And the scriptures are filled with this. If you were to look in the Bible, it is packed with this incredible practical knowledge from God to say, hey, do these things and there will be better days ahead. The scriptures are filled with this. And what I want to do for the next 3 weeks, we want to walk through and begin this conversation talking about that. We want to have the next 3 weeks, we want to focus in on what does the scriptures actually say about how you can do certain things and it will lead to better days. That this conversation is going to be guided by a book in the Bible called Proverbs, which is just filled with practical wisdom. That if you choose to apply the things that we're going to talk about over the next 3 weeks, you will have better days ahead. That your best days do not have to be behind you. So we're going to begin that conversation today. And the title of the message today is Grow on Purpose. Grow on Purpose. Now, if you've been around Redeemer at all, you already know this. If you're new, something you need to know about me is that I love gardening. I like gardening. It's a pastime of mine. I like getting out in the yard. And so to help me with this conversation, I'm going to have Isaac here bring out a plant. So here we go. Thank you, Isaac. He's like, okay, bye, thank you. So I love to garden, okay? And whether you like gardening or not, we all know some basic thing about plants, okay? Like, if I were to take this plant and just hack off all the leaves, just chop it down, what would happen? It'd die, right? If I took this plant and was like, you know what? This thing doesn't need a pot. I'll just throw this thing over here, right? What would happen? It would die. What would happen if I was like, hey, you know what really gets me up in the morning? It's a good old cup of coffee. Man, you know what? I'm gonna give this plant all kinds of energy. I'm gonna just pour a Red Bull in there and just, what would happen to this plant? It would die, right? On a very basic level, we all know what would kill this plant. We also know on a very basic level how to help plants live. I mean, my kids who are in elementary school already know what every plant needs. Every plant needs three things, right? Sun, soil, and water. If you give a plant sun, soil, and water, it's gonna live. You'll be just fine. If we give this plant sun, soil, and water, it's gonna live. But you know what's interesting is that like any plant, there's a big difference in how you help a plant live and how you can help a plant thrive. We've got a master gardener here at the church, Sue, and I asked her, I pulled her aside and said, okay, Sue, what does it take to help a plant not just live, but thrive? I mean, the master gardener, she knows how to take care of things. She knows how to help plants thrive. So she got all excited and she said, well, the first thing you got to do is make sure that plants have the right nutrients. I was like, which are? And she told me, plants need to have potash, potassium, nitrogen, magnesium, calcium, that there are certain nutrients that every plant needs if you want it to thrive. I said, okay, great, what else? She said, well, you can't just plant a plant in dirt. You need to plant it in soil. So I said, what's the difference? And so she told me, well, soil is 25% water, 25% air, and 50% nutrients. That if you give a plant the correct soil, it will thrive. This is why when you overwater a plant, right, it throws the percentages off. Or if you underwater a plant, it throws the percentages off and you kill the plant. So she's teaching me how to help the plant thrive. She said, depending on the plant that you're looking for, you've got to learn about the plant. That if it's a blooming plant, right, if it has flowers, does it bloom in the springtime? Does it bloom in early summer, late summer? Does it bloom in the fall? Like, how does that work? Is the plant a shade plant where it needs more shade than sun? Or does it need full sunlight? Is that the kind of plant that it is? That when you're trying to pick out a plant, there's certain things you got to figure out. You got to decide like how tall the plant should be or the texture on the plant, the color that it has, the size that it is. That there's things that you can actually do to know what the plant needs, not just to live, but to thrive. You see, what the master gardener was helping me do was gain wisdom, right? She was helping me to have the wisdom to know the difference between helping a plant live and helping a plant thrive. You see, the first thing I need us to know that if you want better days ahead, wisdom is the path to better days. Wisdom is the path to better days. Now, I told you this is going to be a conversation that's going to be guided by the book of Proverbs. And instead of just like picking one verse out, one proverb out and being like, there, the Bible said so. What I want to do throughout this series is I want to overwhelm you with the amount of things that Proverbs actually has to say about this specific thing, okay? So I sit back and relax for a minute. I want to show you just some of what the Proverbs have to say about wisdom being the path to better days. Are you ready? Here's what Proverbs has to say. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. For wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. She offers you long life in her right hand and riches and honor in her left. She will guide you down delightful paths. All her ways are satisfying. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Happy are those who hold her tight. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. If you prize wisdom, she will make you great. Choose my instruction rather than silver, and knowledge rather than pure gold. For wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with it. Wisdom will multiply your days and add years to your life. If you become wise, you will be the one to benefit. If you scorn wisdom, you will be the one to suffer. How much better to get wisdom than gold and good judgment than silver? To acquire wisdom is to love yourself. People who cherish understanding will prosper. Wisdom is the path to better days. Now, I told you I was a terrible reader. I am still a terrible reader, but I also know that there are books that contain wisdom that I need. So what I want to do is I want to share with you some of the very practical things that I am doing to gain wisdom, okay? You don't have to do this. Maybe this is something that just sparks an idea for you, or maybe this just opens up a little gap for the Lord to share how he wants you to grow in this area. But I want to share with you my story about what I am doing to grow in wisdom, because I need wisdom, because I want better days ahead. When I was in college, actually, my now wife, before we started dating, she said, hey, if you want to date, you've got to read this book. And that was like the last thing on the planet that I wanted to hear, because, I was a terrible reader. But I started reading this book, and it changed me. And I began to read more books. In fact, I'd been reading my Bible almost every day. I try to read it every day, but listen, I'm not perfect. But I since college, have been trying to read my Bible every day. Every year since college, I've tried to read 4 to 8 books throughout the year. And because I'm not very good at reading, that's all I can handle is about 4 to 8 books. And I'm going to be really intentional about the books that I pick, because I need to gain wisdom and knowledge. If I'm going to spend my time reading, it better be worth my time. And so I spend my time reading books on leadership and on spiritual practices, books on communication and marketing and business. I'm reading books that actually give me wisdom that I need. People who are further down the line than I am, who can teach me something. And I'm growing and I'm learning and I'm gaining wisdom, because I know it's the path to better days. How about you? Okay, can we go back to the plant for a minute? Okay, we know what this plant needs, right? We've talked about it a little bit. We know that it needs the right nutrients, the right soil. It still needs sun and water too, right? It needs all those things. What would happen if we gave this plant everything that it needs, right? We learn from the master gardener. We know what it needs. We gave this plant everything it needs and then walked away and never took care of it ever again. It would die, right? We know this. We know in order for this plant to live and thrive, we have to be intentional about watering it and taking care of it every day, giving it what it needs to thrive, right? We have to be intentional about this every day. In the same way, growing in wisdom requires intentionality. That if you want to grow in wisdom, it's going to require you to get intentional. Nobody just drifts into wisdom, right? Nobody just drifts into success or drifts into greatness. Nobody just drifts into health. It requires a level of intentionality. Can I show you what the Proverbs have to say about this? Check this out. Here's what the Proverbs have to say about being intentional in gaining wisdom. I want you to listen to the words, the specific words about intentionality here. It says, let the wise listen to these Proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Follow the steps of those who are good and stay on the paths of the righteous. Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. Get all the advice and instruction you can so that you will be wise the rest of your life. Commit yourself to instruction. Listen carefully to the words of knowledge. Growing in wisdom requires intentionality. This past summer, my family, we moved into a new home, and in the backyard of our new home, it's a new development, and not like in my yard, but like just across the property line in my neighbor's yard, is the goofiest looking pine tree I had ever seen. I mean, this thing, what had happened is that the developers, right, they planted the trees in the back probably 2, 3, maybe 4 years ago, and then they just never took care of it. And what happened is that this pine tree, it was big and bushy and just like wild looking at the top. And down at the bottom, it had like died and shriveled and the branches were about this long. And it was like nothing was growing down there. It looked like an upside down Christmas tree. This pine tree was absolutely ridiculous. And what had happened is that if I just let that pine tree be, what would have happened to it? It would have grown. It would have been even more goofy looking. And eventually it would have gotten top heavy, tipped over, cracked, and died because nobody was being intentional with that tree. You see, wisdom requires intentionality. That if you want to grow in wisdom, if you want to grow on purpose, you have got to get intentional about gaining wisdom. Can I tell you something that I'm doing to be really intentional to make sure that I'm gaining wisdom and growing in this? It takes me about 20 minutes to get here to church, right? To work for me, right? It takes me 20 minutes to get to work and 20 minutes to get home, give or take. It's about 20 minutes both ways. And when I was listening, like just turn on the radio, it was just like a waste of my time. Like I wouldn't gain anything. It wasn't doing anything for me. And listening to music for me personally, it wasn't super helpful. And so what I decided about 16 years ago was that I was going to spend my commute time to and from work listening to podcasts. I was going to listen to, you know, sermons from pastors that I really love and admire and appreciate. I'm going to learn, you know, business lessons from people who are just further down the line than I am. I'm going to learn leadership skills from leaders that I look up to. I'm going to spend time just absorbing the wisdom that I can over my commute. Now, I did the math on this. At 20 minutes to work, 20 minutes from work, that's 40 minutes a day, times 5 times a week, times 52 times a year. What I've figured out is that I'm spending 435 hours absorbing wisdom. This is how I am being intentional about making sure that I'm growing in wisdom. What about you? What are you doing to be intentional about growing in wisdom? And maybe what's the Lord asking you to do now? To be intentional about growing in wisdom. Can we go back to the plant again? Okay, back to the plant. Here's the deal. We know what this plant needs to thrive, okay? In fact, the master gardener taught us all of this stuff. Let's just imagine for a minute that I invited Sue to come. Like, I invited the master gardener. I invited her to come. And we just spent the next 3 weeks together learning everything that the master gardener knows. She came. She taught us the master class. That we absorbed all the wisdom she had, all the knowledge she has. We know everything that the master gardener knows. That collectively, we are the smartest gardeners on this planet, right? But then, we never chose to garden. What good would all that knowledge be? None. That's the answer, right? In the same way, wisdom is only useful when put to use. Let me tell you what the Proverbs have to say about this. It says, where am I here? It says, so it starts with a negative here, which is kind of like, whoa. It says, they rejected my advice and paid no attention when I corrected them. Therefore, they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way, choking on their own schemes. It says, truthful words stand the test of time, but lies are soon exposed, right? You can know that something is true when over time it continues to prove to be true, right? The more that you do it, the more true it becomes. Only simpletons believe everything they're told. The prudent carefully consider their steps, carefully consider how they put their knowledge to use. And it says, though good advice lies deep within the heart, a person with understanding will draw it out, right? Will draw that out so that it can actually be put to use, so it can become practical in the real world. You see, wisdom is merely knowledge until it's put to use. Now, don't mishear me, okay? Knowledge is a good thing. You need knowledge. I need knowledge. In fact, you cannot be wise if you don't have knowledge, okay? Knowledge is so important. But can I say something to those of us who are followers of Jesus? And if you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus, what I'm about to say, you're gonna want to say amen. Don't, okay? People will look at you. Don't do that. But for those of us who are followers of Jesus, there are too many of us who have so much knowledge and put so little of it to use. I mean, there are some of us here who we love our Bible studies. We have memorized scripture. We've got scripture verses for every circumstance and every situation. We know what the master gardener knows, but we're not gardening. We've stopped putting it to use. That we're not using the knowledge that we have to make the world more beautiful. Can I be transparent with you? That is the word that the Lord spoke to me personally when I was 27 years old. See, when I was 27 years old, I'd been listening to podcasts, I'd been reading books, I'd been reading my Bible, I'd been hearing from other pastors, I'd been going to Bible studies. I had so much knowledge, but I was putting so little of it to use. And so for the past 9 years, I've been trying to fix that. For the past 9 years, I've been working to let my wisdom match my knowledge. Actually turning my knowledge into wisdom by putting it to use. And I love who God is helping me become. I love the person that I'm becoming. Because I see myself becoming more like Jesus. And I got a long ways to go, but I love the journey that I'm on. What about you? You see, this past year, 2023, back in January, I decided that I needed to start getting more intentional about putting my knowledge to use. And so what I started doing is every single month I would schedule 2 meetings. Every month I'd schedule 2 meetings. The first meeting I would schedule with somebody who I could learn from, somebody who was further down the road than me in their leadership or in their, you know, church world. I don't know. I would schedule a meeting with somebody who's further down the line who could mentor me, who could speak into me. And I would ask them questions. I'd pick their brains. I'd say, hey, if you were in my shoes, what would you do? And I'd hear them, and then I've been doing those things. That's the first meeting. The other meeting that I've been scheduling every month is I've been trying to schedule at least 1 meeting a month with somebody that I can invest in, somebody that I can pour out to, that I can encourage them, that I can spur them on and say, I see what you're doing, and it's awesome. Keep going. I've been trying to meet with people that I can actually maybe mentor a little bit or just help them along in their journey. Because I don't want my knowledge to stay knowledge. I want it to become wisdom. Because that's the invitation that Jesus has called us to. Not just to get big heads on wisdom, but to have big hearts that actually help the world look more like heaven by putting it to use. So I ask it again, what about you? What might the Lord be saying to you about putting your wisdom to use? Okay, one last time, let's go back to the plant. Can we do that? Okay, this plant, right? We've taken the master class, right? We know everything there is to know. We know how to help this plant thrive. We know the environment it needs. We know all the things that this plant needs in order to thrive. But there are about 400,000 species of plants on this planet, and like an infinite number of varieties within those species. You see, as long as I stay a gardener, I will never be done learning. There is always more to learn. And the same is true with wisdom. Stay a student, because God's not done growing you. God's never done growing you. Can I show you what the Proverbs have to say about always staying a student? It says, "Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones." Don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. Hang on to them, for they will refresh your soul. Love wisdom like a sister. Make insight a beloved member of your family. Instruct the wise, and they will be even wiser. Teach the righteous, and they will learn even more. Intelligent people are always ready to learn. Their ears are open for knowledge. Stay a student, because God's not done growing you. I wanted to give you some really practical things. One, because it's like part of what I'm doing, but also I want this to be practical. I want this to be tangible for you. I want you to walk out and not go, "Oh, that was nice." I want you to walk out of here and actually be able to put stuff to use, to actually have some wisdom. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a really practical challenge that I want to invite you to this week. And there's two things. The first is for those of you here who you have not read a Bible for the past 7 days. Okay, so if that's you, here's my challenge for you. Here's what I want to invite you to. This week, read the Bible. And I don't care how much. It can be for 30 seconds. It can be for 30 minutes. I don't care, okay? You're smart people. You can figure that out. Okay, I want you to read the Bible. Maybe start in Proverbs if you don't know where to start. But I want you to read the Bible and find some wisdom. And see maybe what God is speaking to you there. Now, if you're here and maybe Bible reading is already part of your routine, it's just something that you do, if my challenge still stands, read your Bible, okay? But here's my other step. As I told you, that I'm reading books, I'm listening to sermons, I'm listening to podcasts. What I want to do is I want to give you 9 of my resources. Okay, so we're going to put those up on the screen here, and you can see these. I've got 3 podcasts, 3 books, and 3 sermons. Now, here's the deal. These are just Brian resources. These are not the resources of Redeemer. This is just Brian telling you what I have learned over the past year or two, okay? Here's my challenge for you. If you want to do this, here's my challenge. Pick one of these. Now, some of you are overachievers, and you're going to want to do all 9. Do one, okay? Pick just one. Pick one of these. Learn one thing from it. And then do that one thing with as much extravagance as you can muster. That's my challenge to you. That's my encouragement to you. That's how I want you to grow in wisdom this week. Now, if you receive our Monday emails, you can sign up for those on our website. Tomorrow, Monday, you're going to receive this email, and it's going to have a link to all of these things in the email as well. Okay, so if you want it, that's where you can get it. But I want this to be practical for you. I want you to learn and grow in wisdom. What I love is that there's been all kinds of research that's been done around having a growth mindset. And all of this research, it has only confirmed what the Proverbs, what the scriptures have been telling us all along. There's some like good news, bad news about how your brain works. Is that good news is that when you're younger, like from the time that you're born until the time you turn about like 25 to 35, your brain is naturally wired to learn and grow and receive and develop, okay? That's just how your brain naturally works. This is why people say like, "Oh, my kids, they're just little sponges, right? They absorb everything." That's why, is because when you're younger, that's how your brain is wired. But what's also true is that after you hit that 25 to 35 age range, your brain actually begins to shift. and it becomes comfortable with what you already know. It begins to just settle in and say, well, I've learned enough, I've grown, I know enough to survive, I'll be just fine. And your brain is actually naturally wired to stop learning. But the good news is this, that all this research, what it's shown is that no matter your age, if you choose to be intentional about having a growth mindset, right, about growing in wisdom, growing on purpose, if you have a growth mindset, what the research shows is that growth-minded people, they're more fulfilled in their life than people who have stopped learning and don't get intentional about growing. That there are better ways to better days, and wisdom is the path to get there. I mean, this is what it means to follow Jesus, right? I mean, if you're a Jesus follower, if you're considering following Jesus, I mean, growing in wisdom, this is what it means. Jesus invites us to be disciples of his, right? And to go and make disciples. And what's a disciple? A student. That's what being a disciple means. It means to be a student of Jesus, to be a student of the master gardener, to learn from him, to know the things that he said and know the things that he did, but even more than just knowing what the teacher said and did, it's knowing how the teacher said what they said and how the teacher did what he did. To be a disciple of Jesus is to be a student of Jesus. And it's not only to be a student of what Jesus did once upon a time 2,000 years ago. It's to be a student of Jesus today because he is alive and he is still speaking. He is still guiding. He is still giving wisdom to people like you and me, helping us grow and learn and develop so that we can actually in turn use that wisdom and help the world become more and more like heaven. That's the invitation of Jesus. That's what Jesus invites you and me to. That there are better ways to better days. And the invitation, the path, is to grow in wisdom. Can I pray for us? Would you bow your heads? Would you close your eyes? Jesus, I'm just so thankful that you are a God who doesn't say, okay, that's enough, you can stop. But God, you invite us to learn, you invite us to grow, and you are the God of all wisdom. Jesus, I love that you teach us, that you show us what it means to follow you, because you are the one who brings heaven to earth. And when we partner with you in doing that, when we grow in not just our knowledge so that we get really big heads, but when we grow in our wisdom, partnering with you and doing the things that you did, doing the things that you're calling us to do, that's where the world begins to change. And that's where we become examples of Jesus to the world. Thank you, Jesus. I want to do something different than what we normally do. If you'd keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. If that word today resonates with you, just growing in wisdom, if that stirs something in you, if you hear that and you go, yeah, God, I'm in. Help me grow in wisdom. If that's you today, just as a way of just putting a stamp on it, right? Making this concrete. If you're here and you're saying, yes, Jesus, I want to grow in wisdom. If that's you today, would you raise your hand? Just as a way of saying, I'm in. Jesus, I'm in. I want to grow in wisdom. I'm in. All over the room. That's beautiful. That's awesome. You can put your hands down. Thank you. I want to talk to those of you here who maybe are not yet following Jesus. I know that there are times where I look at my fellow Christians, believers, people who follow Jesus, and I see myself the way that I was so long ago, somebody who thought they knew everything and did so little. And perhaps that's your experience with Christians. Today, I want you to know that was never the invitation of Jesus. The invitation of Jesus is not just to know what the master gardener knows, but to do what the master gardener does, to actually make the world better. And today, that's the invitation I want to extend to you. That if you've never said yes to following Jesus, or maybe you said yes once upon a time, but you haven't said yes in a long time. If that's you this morning, would you let me see you by raising your hand? I want to pray for you. If that's you, would you raise your hand? It's beautiful. I see your hands. I see that hand. I want to pray for you. One more time, if that's you, raise your hand. I see you. You can put your hands down. I want to just pray specifically over you, those of you who raised your hands just now. Jesus, you see every single person here. You saw those who just raised their hands, who are going to cross the line of faith today, who are going to say yes to following you today. Jesus, thank you that you forgive. Thank you that you meet us right where we're at. And thank you that you do not leave us the same. Jesus, today, in this moment, would you be with those who raise their hands as a declaration to say that they're following you? God, today, would you transform those lives, as I know you already are, and you will continue to do so. Jesus, thank you for who you are and the way that you transform lives. Amen.